DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
This week, Leo Varadkar announced he won't be contesting the general election, bowing out of politics aged just 45. So why are politicians leaving the gig earlier in life, and what does a former Taoiseach do when he has a whole other career ahead of him? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, and don't forget to share and subscribe. Now, this week, some unsurprising but still significant news in that Leo Varadkar has decided to exit mainline politics. The former Taoiseach and former Fine Gael leader was unlikely to run for the Dáil again after stepping down from those two roles, but he confirmed this week he isn't going to contest the next general election. And it brings down the curtain on a remarkable political career when in less than 25 years, Varadkar went from unelected member of Young Fine Gael to a two-term Taoiseach, breaking a whole load of taboos in the process. So let's have a look through that career, starting back in 1999 when a young medical student set eyes on politics.
If you have no family background in politics like 20-year-old medical student Leo Varadkar, why sign up to a party like Fine Gael?
I don't come from a political family, but I suppose we always felt that if you wanted to change things, that politics was the best way to do that. There were a number of things I was always interested in doing, like, for example, I'm studying medicine, I want to be a doctor, but I always realised that, you know, doctors can only help a certain number of patients, but the Minister of Health can really change things, and I think that goes across the board, and I felt that politics was a way you could change things for the better. Why I joined Fine Gael? There'd be several reasons. I felt that Fine Gael was a particularly pro-European party, and I'd be very passionate about Europe. It was liberal enough to suit my own views, and also I supported the sort of liberal economic policies that Fine Gael would support. I suppose I'd like to change everything at some stage or another. I'd certainly like to see us further integrate with Europe. I'd probably be a federalist on European issues. I'd like to see us deal better with the economic growth. If I was ready in 10 years' time, I'd like to be in Leinster House.
But his first attempt at office didn't go to plan. Varadkar drew just 380 votes in Mulhuddart in the 1999 local elections. 5 years later, though, he topped the poll with nearly 5,000 first preference votes in Castleknock, a signal to everyone in the party leadership that here was a candidate on the rise. In the next Dáil election in 2007, he took more than 20% of the vote, arriving into Leinster House for the first time. And in his maiden speech, health was the main focus, as he addressed the then Minister, Mary Harney.
Thank you, Kerlach. First of all, I'd like to take the opportunity to congratulate Deputy Harney on her reappointment as Minister. Health is a difficult job in government, and I think it's probably a testament to your courage as an individual and also your dedication as a politician that you chose to ask for the job in the first place and then agreed to take it up again despite the results for your party in the election. I'd like to join my party colleagues as well in expressing my concern and opposition to the co-location proposal, not just on the basis that it has no mandate, and it does have no mandate, but also, more importantly, on the basis that it's bad public policy, and it's bad public policy for three principal reasons. First of all, it's going to lead to the perpetuation of the two-tier health service, freeing up 1,000 public beds. By providing 1,000 private beds really misses the point. What we should be trying to do in our health service is to move towards a system where there are no private beds and there are no public beds, where there are no private patients and there are no public patients. And the best way to achieve that is through a system of universal health insurance, as is done in many other countries, whereby all patients are effectively private patients and money follows the patient. And by going down the route of this co-location plan, you're making it harder to achieve that for future governments and future generations. And you're making it particularly difficult by bringing a whole new vested interest into the healthcare system and that of the 6, 7, 8, 9 or 10 private hospitals.
Varadkar became one of the most outspoken opposition TDs, leading to his rise in national prominence, and then perhaps his first big misstep. In 2010, along with a number of TDs, including Simon Coveney, he backed a heave against Enda Kenny, wanting Richard Bruton to become Fine Gael leader. That heave ended in defeat, with Kenny to become Taoiseach just a year later. A kind of a signpost, I suppose, of the vagaries of politics that you could be out in your ear one day and could be cock of the walk the next. Now, for many, backing the wrong horse could have meant a spell in the political wilderness. But instead, Kenny named Varadkar to cabinet and he became the Minister for Transport, Tourism and Sport. His first big event organising The Gathering, remember that? An initiative aimed at boosting tourism by getting Irish people abroad to come home for events in the summer of 2013.
Yeah, it's gone very well. Actually better than I thought. We're certainly going to meet our targets in terms of visitor numbers and also revenue. And it's not just about that, of course, it's about the fact that it has instilled, I think, a lot of community pride back in communities over the country. It's got people working together in a way they didn't in the past.
In 2014, he was finally appointed to Minister for Health, the position he had talked about 15 years previously, and was being firmly talked about now as a potential next leader of Fine Gael. Varadkar's personal life came to the fore when in 2015 he came out as gay in a radio interview in advance of the marriage equality referendum, later revealing the difficulty that he had in coming to terms with his sexuality in a conversation with former President Mary McAleese.
Well, I suppose everyone's experience is different. I think for me, I kind of hoped it would go away. You know, just some sort of phase, or then kind of considered, you know, maybe this is just kind of a cross you bear, and you get a girlfriend, or you know, marry a woman and have a family, and you know, just suppress it. But
you considered all those options.
Yeah, and it makes you can make you a bad person, I think, as well. I think before I came out, I was more judgmental of other people. Probably held conservative social views almost as a reaction to the fact that if I have to suppress who I am, then why shouldn't other people, you know, have to bear their cross? And
but they were some kind of protective barrier, presumably.
Yeah. And then the other thing as well, you become very defensive. You know, like people ask you, you know, do you have a girlfriend, or you know, who are you going holidays with, and you assume they're asking you, you know, a different question.
Sure.
So you know, you become prickly. Yeah.
In an Endakenny reshuffle in 2016, Varadkar became the Social Protection Minister, running a campaign which drew him plenty of criticism from political opponents with the tagline, "Welfare cheats cheat us all." Then in 2017, Endakenny decided to step down as Taoiseach after no little perceived pressure from the Varadkar supporters, it must be said, and a campaign was run between Varadkar and Coveney to replace him. And while Simon Coveney won the popular vote among Fine Gael members at the time, Varadkar's shock and awe campaign among TDs and senators, who had a higher weighting of the votes, saw him elected.
The results of the third division of the Electoral College, the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party, is as follows. Total electorate, 73, shock dose of 3. Total poll, 73, shock dose of 3. Total number of invalid votes, 0. Total valid poll, 73, shock dose of 3. Coveney Simon, 22, Fihisa Dó. Varadkar Leo, 51, Cuige Sathéin.
Leo Varadkar had strong approval ratings his first few years as Taoiseach and brought a more combative style to Dáil debates than his predecessor, his clashes with Sinn Féin in particular, and in particular Piers Doherty, becoming increasingly bitter.
And that's why we have Housing for All, the biggest investment in social housing ever in the history of the state. And that's why we have cost rental now for the first time. It's why we've brought in a rent freeze in real terms, linking rent increases to inflation. It's why we're doing so many of those things, Deputy. But you know, you said earlier on that the people on these benches, on the government benches, should be ashamed. You know, maybe you should ask yourself whether you should be ashamed too. Your party voted to increase rents in Northern Ireland in a pandemic. There is never, you never miss, and you've been
lying in their sheds,
Deputy,
without running water, and you
Deputy,
should be ashamed. And a bit of humility from you would go a long way.
And a bit of humility from you too would go a long way. Last Concord with the usual display, truth hurt, they go mad, drives them crazy. They increased rents in Northern Ireland. They never miss an opportunity to oppose housing here in the South. Never.
Just one of many occasions.
You've criticised the Gardaí. You've criticised the High Court for making this order, having heard the cases.
Tisha, I've got injury time.
And you have said nothing about the thugs who climbed on the back of a cattle truck.
Tisha, I've got injury time.
20 of them. Broke into property, injured 3 people, killed a dog.
Deputy, I'm moving on immediately to Deputy Brendan Howland. Deputy Doherty. Deputies. if this continues, if this
Deputy,
continues,
Deputy,
I will have no choice.
When it comes to Sinn Féin and the rule of law,
Taoiseach,
and public order,
Deputy
and
Brendan
condemning
Brendan.
Violence, it doesn't take very long for your balaclava to slip.
Taoiseach, Deputy Brendan Howland, Deputy Brendan.
But he was a Taoiseach largely having to respond to world events. Brexit dominated his first term, with Ireland having to react to the ins and outs of Tory infighting. And here he is scolding Boris Johnson at a joint press conference in Dublin after the latter reneged on a deal already agreed.
If there is no deal, it'll cause severe disruption for British and Irish people alike, not so much on the continent. And whatever happens, we'll have to get back to the negotiating table quite quickly. And when we do, the first items on the agenda will be citizens' rights, the financial settlement, and the Irish border. All issues which we had resolved in the withdrawal agreement made with your predecessor, an agreement made in good faith by 28 governments.
Farage wasn't afraid of making such speeches on the world stage, and he became the first gay Taoiseach to attend a St. Patrick's Day function at the home of the then US President Mike Pence, who had some quite conservative views himself.
But I also knew at the time that I lived in a country where, if I tried to be myself at the time, it would have ended up breaking laws. But today, that has all changed. I stand here, leader of my country, flawed and human, but judged by my political actions and not by my sexual orientation, my skin tone, gender, or religious beliefs. And I don't believe that my country is the only one in the world where this story is possible. It's found in every country where freedom and liberty are cherished. We are, after all God's children.
And when the Brexit scandals were almost over, came arguably the biggest challenge of Varadkar's career.
Good morning, everyone. I need to speak to you about coronavirus and COVID-19. For the past few weeks, the government and our public service have been focused on dealing with the impact of this virus. In that time, we've taken several important and unprecedented measures to protect public health. We've been preparing for all eventualities. Yesterday, the World Health Organization formally described it as pandemic, and the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control, the ECDC, updated its guidelines, advising us all to act early to be effective. Our own National Public Health Emergency Team met last night and has issued new advice to government. We're acting on that advice today. There will be many more cases. More people will get sick, and unfortunately we must face the tragic reality that some people will die. The virus is all over the world. It will continue to spread, but it can be slowed. Its impact can be reduced, making it easier for our health service to cope and giving our scientists more time to develop better testing, treatments, and a vaccine.
The Overacre now admits that not everything was done right during COVID-19, and he wishes he'd pushed back a bit more on some of the restrictions that were put forward by NPHET, but he managed the opening few months to pretty widespread acclaim at the time before breaking another taboo of Irish politics in the June of 2020 and becoming the first Fine Gael leader to enter a formal coalition government with the old enemy Fianna Fáil.
No, I'm confident that... Confident and hopeful that we'll see all three parties endorsing this coalition agreement today, able to establish a new government tomorrow and get down to work and get busy, and that's the most important thing.
Varadkar's personal life often became a topic of conversation while he was in office, with pictures of him at festivals circulated wildly online at various points, while drug use by the Taoiseach became a talking point of the 2020 election.
Final question to both, an honest answer. Have you ever taken illegal drugs in any shape or form?
No, I never have.
Have you ever, Adker?
I answered that question in a hot press interview about 12 or 13 years ago, and I answered it truthfully.
Which is? The answer that you did.
Yes, but it was obviously a long time ago.
When is the last time that you took any form of cannabis or illegal drug?
Look, I suppose I was caught off guard by the question, and even though I've been asked it before and I've answered it before, and what I never want to get into is that kind of those kind of, obviously it was all when I was a student and in college.
So you haven't, the last time would have been before 2004?
No, like I
I'm not the only former Taoiseach who has, by the way.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not here. Like, I drink too much. You know what I mean? I bet too much. So do I on occasion.
Yeah. But it's not the kind of thing, you know, that I've ever wanted to get into much detail about, largely because I appreciate that I am Taoiseach, that I am a role model in a way, and I don't want to send out the message to young people who are under pressure to experiment with drugs or try drugs that it's kind of okay and sure the Taoiseach did it and it's in any way cool, because it's not.
After taking back the job of Taoiseach in late 2022, it was pretty clear to most people around Leinster House that Varadkar didn't have the same energy that marked the start of his career. And what's a rare moment of introspection from a politician, he announced he was stepping back earlier this year.
My reasons for stepping down are both personal and political. I believe this government can be re-elected, and I believe my party, Fine Gael, can gain seats in the next Dáil. Most of all, I believe the re-election of this three-party government would be the right thing for the future of our country, continuing to take us forward, protecting all that's been achieved and building on it. But after careful consideration and some soul-searching, I believe that a new Taoiseach and a new leader will be better placed than me to achieve that, to renew and strengthen the team, to focus our message and policies, to drive implementation. And after 7 years in office, I don't feel I'm the best person for that job anymore.
This week he confirmed he won't be contesting the general election at all, but indicated he'll be around campaigning for the party in the wings. Varadkar said earlier in his career he wanted to be out of politics by 50, and at 45, he's well shy of that. He said the plans are afoot for what he's going to do next, but he doesn't 100% know what's next in life. An autobiography is in the works. And he represents this interesting generation of politicians that has served a political lifetime, but not an actual lifetime, and potentially has a big second act in him. So let me leave you with Varadkar's own words about political retirement, aimed at Brian Cowan after a panicked reshuffle late in the life of the Fianna Fáil leader's last government.
Everything that you couldn't find a home for, you shoved it into one, and we're going to the Minister for the Miscellaneous as well. This is an appalling botch job. You're no Sean the Mass. You're no Jack Linton. You're no John Bruton. You're a Gareth Fitzgerald. You've tripled the national debt. You've effectively destroyed the country, and now you've a dirty, wasteful botch job. That's the last thing you do. So enjoy writing your boring articles in the Irish Times in a few years' time.
Minister Jonathan.
Keep an eye out for that Irish Times column, eh? I'm Sean Defoe. Chat to you next week.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.